Ben, you've lived through the greatest technological revolution, or rather, evolution in the history of mankind. Is it true you can't change a light bulb?
I never from the start have been able to do any kind of mechanical, or the most ordinary things in life. I think it's beyond my ken. As you say, Peter, if I have to change a light bulb, I screw my face up and the whole thing. If I have anything goes wrong in the house, if there's what you call the thing when they...
The fuses? The light fuse.
A fuse. That's the one I was trying to remember. A fuse happens. I can't mend it. I've had fuses. I always have to call the man. And the man says, it's the simplest thing in the world. So here you are. This is all you do. I said, yes, now I'll remember that next time. He goes away and I've forgotten the next minute.
From a conversation with Ben Travers, recorded in 1978.
I had a stage version of Cuckoo in the Nest and a stage version of Rookwood Nook, which had already been published as novels. And something suddenly turned up, because after two immensely successful past productions, the Aldwych, they had their more or less set company of past actors, and they had nothing to follow. They couldn't find anything to follow. Then Lawrence Grossmith had heard of this, so he sent Tom Walls the script of Cuckoo in the Nest. And Tom Walls read it, gave it to Ray Flynn, who read the first act. They said, yes. So I went up, met Tom Walls. Cuckoo in the Nest was in rehearsal on the following Monday.
A Cuckoo in the Nest, an adaptation for radio of the novel and play by Ben Travers, with Joan Hickson, Freddie Jones, Ian Lavender, Phoebe Nichols, Margaret Tysack, and Percy Edwards as Pansy the dog.
Flappers!
Flappers on me! Flappers on me!
Flippin' and fly and free! Never too slow, all on the go! Betty parties with the smartest, moonlight dances, oh what chances!
Isn't Bobby Kensington a corker?
Queen of the chorus front row.
Are you taking her to the Piccadilly Grill these days?
Absolutely not. I'm in love with a wonderful girl.
Marriage on the horizon?
If I can get past her mother.
She doesn't approve.
I've never known such a woman. She's like nobody on earth. For sheer enmity, she beats the band. The only people who can hold a candle to her are those Mexican bandits in films who blow into a township and shoot up the minister just for the joy of making trouble.
George.
Yes, dear?
What are you doing with that port?
Drinking it. Dear.
You've already had one.
Yes, dear.
Now, this young man our daughter mistakenly wants to marry, do you approve of him?
Yes, dear.
Well, of course you don't. He belongs to several dubious clubs. He's been seen visiting racecourses and in the company of bookmakers, and on top of that, he has a reputation for visiting every serviceable stage door in the country. You can imagine to what purpose those visits are made, can't you?
Yes, dear.
What?
Yes, dear, I can imagine.
The man is a Babylon of prodigality.
Oh, yes, dear.
Well, what have you done with that port?
Drunk it, dear.
I will not allow Barbara to sacrifice herself to this Peter Withington.
Hinton Wickham, do you take this woman to thy wedded wife to live together after God's ordinance?
Absolutely. I mean, I will. I will.
Barbara Bone, wilt thou have this man to thy wedded husband to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony?
I will. I will.
Peter Withington Wickham, in marrying Barbara Bone, I hope you realize what you are getting. You are the fortunate recipient of a priceless gift.
Thank you.
bird.
Lovely service. She looked so wonderful. Oh, this is such a sad occasion.
You haven't lost a daughter. You have gained a son.
I know.
Oh, where's the champagne tent?
Thank you for the priceless gift.
Oh, you are welcome, welcome.
I'd rather have had the winner of the 2:30.
What did you say to the Reverend Cathcart?
A little joke, dearest. I just resented being told you were a priceless gift. I had managed to work that out for myself.
Oh, darling.
Hello, darling.
You're late, Peter. Where have you been?
Met a chap at one of my clubs. He dragged me off to Hammersmith Broadway to see Bobby Kensington.
Bobby Kensington? He sounds fast.
Oh, no. Bobby in the feminine, you know. As in, well, Tommy, Billy. She dances in the front row of the chorus.
I see. You needn't think you're going to get away with that sort of thing now. I dare say you mixed with those sort of women in the past, but the past is over.
Dearest, I won't be late again. I'll be very punctual for tea. I'll be ahead of time. I'll be like the 6:30 edition of the evening papers. I'll be super punctual.
Darling?
Hmm?
You didn't answer.
Why? Did you speak?
You weren't listening.
I'm sorry, darling.
Are you fed up with me after 3 months?
Of course not. I was just reading this letter.
Do you want your kedgeree?
No, thank you. You'd like it, I feel sure.
I don't want your kedgeree.
No. This letter. It's an invitation to the Bunters. My dear Peter, at the time of your wedding, we resolved to ask you to come and pay us a visit. I remember we did ask you once or twice before, but you've never been able to come. We're asking one or two friends to the house for the shooting, and we shall be so pleased if you and your bride will join the party.
Bristol, Cardiff Express.
Oh, blast.
What is it, Peter?
That blasted girl at the bookstand hasn't given me all the papers I paid for. Where's my life?
Never mind.
I'd like to get it.
The train will go without you.
Don't worry, my dearest. I'll take jolly good care it doesn't. Hang on to these. Oh. I'm going back for my life.
Excuse me. Oh, my way. I'm terribly sorry.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Okay.
Excuse me. Excuse me. You didn't give me my life.
Oh, sorry. Life, did you say? Here you are.
Thank you.
Peter!
By Jove, Margaret! I haven't seen you in years and years.
Oh, if it doesn't look years and years. You're a married man now.
You're a married woman too.
Yes, I am.
Where's your husband, Margaret?
Oh, he's busy. He's at the House of Commons. Where's your wife?
My wife is on her way to Bristol.
Peter, you've missed it. I told you. Who's that blonde woman with the dog? I seem to know her.
That wasn't the Bristol Express, was it?
It was.
What a bother! I must have caught that train.
I caught it, but I seem to have let it go.
Why are you going to Bristol?
I'm not. My wife is, and I ought to be. We're going to visit some people at Rushcombe Fitzcharteres in Somerset.
The Bunters?
You know them?
I'm going there too. I used to stay with them when I was a girl.
How extraordinary and delightful.
They asked me to bring my husband down for the shooting.
Oh, yes. And to bring yourself for the ratting, I gather. I notice you've got a ferret with you in your muff.
This is Pansy, my skipper-keeper. Well, I couldn't leave her. What are we going to do now, Peter?
My wife doesn't know the Bunters, so I rather feel she'll be put out having to spend the night there without me.
But you can't get down there tonight.
My car's laid up. But if we hired one, we'd make it.
I'm game.
We return forthwith to my flat. You, I, your luggage and Pansy. We eat. I telephone. The car arrives. We buzz off and get to Fitz Thing as soon as, if not before, the train. Can do?
Can do.
Car ordered for a long trip. Name of Wickham. Would this luggage be for me, miss?
I don't doubt it.
Would this be the honeymoon outfit?
Certainly not. The couple is not a married couple.
Oh, not living in sin.
How dare you say such things to me? Just get about your business.
Is that everything?
Yes, I think so.
Right, Manners. Best wheels forward.
Very good, sir.
Peter, this is such fun.
It is, rather. Somerset, here we come.
John!
Yes, dear?
He's done it.
Who's done what, dear?
Barbara's husband has left her. I knew it.
Have a port, dear. Calm the nerves.
We are going out.
We've only just got in.
Look at this telegram.
At my flat at 7, have had the most startling experience. Barbara, who doesn't say anything about Peter leaving her.
Why are you so slow, George? No, dear, don't drink that port. You need what wits you have about you. I blame you for this.
Blame you for what, dear?
What's that?
Flask, dear.
After he phoned, he came back here with the lady. She had a little dog.
A little what?
Dog.
Dog. Dog.
Dog.
Oh, go on.
When the chauffeur came, they packed the car and they went.
Without saying where they were going.
That's right, madam.
Well, very well. You needn't wait, Rawlings. I shall stay here until Mrs. Wickham returns.
Very well, madam.
Well, nobody can say that I am wise after the event.
Alfred, I'm not wise at all.
No, you're not.
Thank you very much.
If you'd been wise, you'd have forbidden this marriage. I disliked the man from the very first, I told you so.
You did.
A dark horse and a loose fish.
But you've nothing to go on yet, you know.
Nothing to go on. He is in a car with this woman, travelling to some unknown destination.
By Jove, I have it. Don't you see?
What?
He missed the train, so he took a car and went after Barbara.
After Barbara? Oh, then why did he start by going away from Barbara?
Oh, very likely he didn't on purpose.
Now, what do you mean? How can he be living with another woman but not on purpose?
He isn't living with her, Constance. Whatever it is, you can't call it that.
I prefer to call it that.
But what evidence have you got?
Evidence? He gives Barbara the slip and packs her off in an express train. Then he goes off in a car with luggage on a long journey with a woman. That was several hours ago and there's no news of him. Well, that's enough for me. I know what men are. It's no good your telling me.
I know that. Well, we'll wait and see what Barbara has to say.
Yes, and don't forget that you listened to Barbara from the first. And if you'd listened to me...
Well, Margaret, we seem to have developed a leak in the radiator.
We must get some water.
Unfortunately, we've broken down in a locality which appears to be first cousin to a prairie. There's a sign off to the left suggesting a small village not too far in the distance. I suggest we head for this maiden Blotton and find a hotel whilst Manners tries for a lift to the nearest garage.
It's so dark.
Unreasonably dark. Small but insanely brave.
How long have we been walking?
Just look upon this as a country walk.
This is more of a forced march.
Splendidly biting air.
There's not a light in sight, just darkness.
Have faith.
Let's go back to the car.
There's bound to be a pub at a place like Maiden Blotton.
Is Peter here? No, dear, he is not. It's Barbara.
Oh, dear, I guessed it would be.
Oh, so Father's here, too.
Yes, Father's here, all right.
Yes, I brought him.
You did.
I've had a terrible time. I'm absolutely fagged out. Father, there's some wine in the dining room sideboard. Go and get some, will you?
Oh, thank you very, very much, my dear. That's very kind of you.
For me, I mean.
Oh, I see. Well, where are the glasses?
Oh, don't fiddle and diddle. Get the wine. Now, my poor child.
I hardly know how to start telling you what has happened.
Well, try, dear.
Peter and I went to Paddington. We got in the train, both of us, in an empty carriage. To ourselves, I mean.
Yes, yes, yes.
Peter got out and went to get some papers. And the next thing I knew, the train began to move. You know how those big express trains glide out. I could scarcely realize it for a moment. So I jumped up and put my head through the window.
Good God.
The window was open.
Oh, I see.
Get the wine.
There in the distance, I saw Peter. He was standing with his back to the train, talking to a young woman. She was no one I knew.
And what did you do?
What could I do? I shouted to a porter, who was apparently a deaf mute. I waved. No one took the slightest notice, except one offensive-looking man who waved back.
And your husband?
Peter never so much as turned his head.
Well, you should have rung the alarm bell.
Oh, I don't suppose he'd have heard it.
Will you get the wine? The wine. Go on, dear.
Well, there I was. I tried to control myself and think. I had all our luggage in the train, his and mine.
Well, go on, dear.
The first stop was Bristol. I got out there. I wasn't going to Peter's friends in the country with a story like that. So I wired him and you and came back here. Now, Mother, what does it all mean?
Now, you listen to me, my dear. I am a man of the world. I'll soon put this right. Now, had the lady a little dog?
The wine. The wine.
Yet I heard you say that before.
What lady?
Peter's pal. Gal, I mean. Well, damn it, the woman person we're discussing. I must call her something. Had she a little dog?
What difference does it make?
Yes, but had she?
Yes, I remember she did have a beastly little dog.
Aha! There you are, my dear. The plot thickens.
George.
The wine.
Yes.
Right.
Mother, what does he mean, the plot thickens?
Now, Barbara, let me tell you, I have seen Rawlings. Your husband came back to the flat here with a woman.
What? Who is she?
That remains to be seen. But he brought her here and rang up for a car.
A car? Oh, then perhaps...
And took the woman and her luggage away with him in the car. We don't know where to, but a long way away.
And he's not come back?
No.
Oh, Mother!
Now, there. Now, you mustn't break down. No, no. George, hurry up with the wine.
All right, my dear. Do you want the port or the hock? I can recommend the port.
The port. Hurry. There, my dear. Now, don't give way. Of course, I was expecting this and said so.
You think he missed the train on purpose?
To be quite candid, I think he missed it by appointment.
But why should he bring her back here?
There you are. That's what I say. That's a point in his favour.
Oh, you do something sensible. Ring up Gamble's garage on the telephone.
On the telephone? Why? What's the idea? I think he's with these people, the Bunters, by this time. I'll wire them and find out.
Yes, and lug it into the public eye. No, thank you.
Well, naturally, I mean to say a judiciously worded wire. You know, sort of Wickham Miss Train Wife Caught. He wouldn't come, so she didn't go, or words to that effect.
Oh, stop fiddling and fuddling. Have you got that number?
Yes, here it is. What shall I do with it?
Ask for it.
Ask for it? Right. Is that whatever the number is? Are you Thingamabob's what's-her-name? What is it?
The garage.
The garage.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Are you Gamble's garage?
Yes, ma'am.
I am speaking for Mrs. Wickham.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Wickham engaged a car today. Wherefore, do you know?
Yes, I do know where they were going.
The maid said when they came...
What? You do?
Yes, something has happened.
What?
Just heard from the chauffeur that they've broken down.
Where?
The chauffeur got lost in a motorcycle and phoned in.
Well, where have they gone?
Leighton Glotton.
What?
Leighton Glotton. The married couple went to find a hotel.
What's it say?
What, Mother?
Shh, darling. To what place?
Maiden Blotton.
Maidens? What?
What's that?
Blotton.
What's it say?
George. Blot?
Blotton.
Where Where is that? I see. Thank you.
What, Mother? Quickly.
The garage has just heard the car broke down on a lonely road. They went off together to find the nearest hotel. The chauffeur got a lift on a motorcycle and telephoned to Gamble's.
Where is the place where Peter's gone?
They set out to walk to a place called Maiden Blotton.
Where's that?
They think Somerset...
Somerset, there you are. I told you so. He's gone after Barbara.
What?
Of course. It stands to reason you had all his things.
Things?
Yes.
What things?
Clothes and things.
What things?
Oh, Lord, clothes and things. Don't you see? He went after Barbara. He thinks she's at the Bunters.
Then why didn't he go on to the Bunters?
Well, very likely he did.
With a woman?
Well, I'm not supposed to know everything. I'm not a clairvoyant.
Oh, be quiet. And leave that port alone.
I shall go down to this hotel.
Yes, first thing tomorrow.
I can go tonight.
Oh, no, you don't. You've had quite enough of that port, George.
I can get a train to Bristol and motor on from there.
Not tonight, dear.
If I wait till tomorrow and there's anything wrong, it might be too late. Look, Paddington, 8 o'clock, arrive Bristol, 10:20.
Yes, and then you'll have to motor out to this place.
Yes, I should think you'd be too late even if you did go tonight.
Oh, you seem very experienced.
No, just an ordinary public school education.
Now, do what I advise, dear. What is the first train tomorrow?
5:30 a.m., Bristol, 8:27.
Well, then go by that. They'll still be there.
Oh, dear. How can I wait? Very well, Mother, I will.
Get some food and go to bed early.
Very well, I will. I'm absolutely fagged out. Good night, Daddy.
Good night, Babsy, darling. Don't you worry. Everything will be all right. Aren't you going to drink your port?
No.
Thanks very much.
Oh, Mother, dear, I can't believe there is anything wrong. I do love him. We were so happy. Good night, Mother.
Good night, dear.
Good night.
That's it. Now we must go at once. We've just time to change and catch the night train.
Say that again.
You'll take me down to this place tonight.
What? I positively refuse. If you must go tonight, you go with Barbara.
And let this man wriggle out of it and get round her with lies and excuses? Not likely. By the time Barbara arrives, I shall have caught him red-handed.
What the devil do you intend doing?
I intend to go to that hotel tonight and catch him. I know that man, and I mean to know that woman.
Catch them at the hotel, but they'll have gone to bed.
I know they will. That's just the point.
Oh! So that's where you intend to walk in and catch them?
Yes, of course it is.
Do you mean to say you're going to burst into this woman's bedroom?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Well, in that case, perhaps I'd better come too.
We walked.
3 miles.
I'm so tired.
And hungry. And hot.
This isn't even a road.
Look. Ahead, an inn. The Stag and Hunt. Beers. That looks promising. Beers.
Anyhow, we can get some food of sorts. And then the chauffeur said he'd come and pick us up here in the car.
Not tonight, Josephine.
Margaret.
I was just quoting Shakespeare.
But why can't he pick us up?
My dear good Mrs. Hickett, did you see the radiator?
It was only leaking, that's all.
Leaking? It was pouring. It's dry. You don't suppose I'd have started to walk if the car could have been repaired tonight?
But Peter, I thought we were just sort of walking to this place to sort of have a meal and sort of wait until the car came.
Then I take it you sort of gave me your luggage to sort of carry as a sort of joke.
Well, you said I'd better bring a bag in case, so I gave you two, because I thought if you carried one in each hand, it would sort of balance you.
Balance me? Look here. I can't unfold my hands now.
Well, it's a good job I did bring them, and Pansy too, if we're out for the night.
Can't you go any faster?
He's going as fast as he can. Heavens, he must be doing 35 at least.
What's that?
A flask, dear.
Put it away.
Oh, thank goodness they've got a fire, if nothing else.
What's that?
Don't be silly, it's the barman.
Ah. Barman, where is the landlord?
At rest.
Already?
Yes, he be the dead husband of the landlady.
Where is the landlady?
Out she be.
Have you a phone?
What be that, sir?
A thing you put to your ear.
Oh, keyhole.
This is a hotel, all right. Have you any food or a sausage?
No, sir, not in the bar, sir.
I don't care where it is. Can we eat?
I don't know, sir.
Well, damn it, can we try?
Alfred.
Aye, Bert.
Is Mrs. Spoker in?
No, she gone to Dunblane.
Then I'll go in.
Be careful she don't see, Bert.
What is all that?
You mind what she called you last time? Satan's fruit.
Some sort of secret society, I think.
It's rather frightening.
Don't like that one at all. He looks like a very, very old Boy Scout.
What are we going to do now?
Well, my idea was to get to an hotel and ring up the Bunters.
And get them to send out a car?
Yes. Or stay at an hotel for the night, having told the Bunters where we are.
Only you're so haphazard and piffling.
Well, of course I'm haphazard and piffling after what's happened. And there's poor Barbara worrying over me.
Oh, she'll be all right with the Bunters.
Yes. Without me, she won't be able to sleep a wink. She hasn't even got my photograph.
She doesn't need your photograph. She couldn't forget a face like yours.
Well, you needn't talk. It's a case of six of mine and half a dozen of yours.
Now we're going to be rude. It was you that got us into this mess, missing the train.
If you hadn't taken that caterpillar for a walk on the platform, I should never have seen you.
Well, you've known me long enough. You could have just said hello and passed on.
You're all right. Your husband thinks you're safe at the Bunters.
My husband doesn't think he's an MP. Anyway, let's get some food and find a telephone or a conveyance.
Conveyance? Where to?
The Bunters, of course. What distance is it from here to the Bunters, do you suppose?
I can't go on distance supposing. I'm fed up with it. Ah, here's somebody. Can you tell me where we can find the landlord?
Not yet. I'm his widow.
Delighted. Oh, I'm sorry. Can we stay here for a bit?
I am completely occupied.
Oh, I'm so sorry, of course. If you're busy, I suppose we must wait, but I was just wondering...
Tell you, I'm completely occupied.
Oh, I see. You mean you're full up?
Completely occupied.
Hmm. Where's the nearest hotel?
This is the only hotel within miles.
Oh, hell. Can we get some food?
Not if you blaspheme.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean you to hear.
Whether I hear or not, it all goes down in the book.
The book? What
book?
The book from which there is no rubbing out.
Oh, how dreadful.
When do you allow him to blaspheme?
Oh, I don't. It's very disobedient of him.
I'm very strict here. Times may change and folks may get heedless in their talk and ways, but not here. This is my hotel and in it I admit only such as meets with my approval.
Our car has broken down. We must find a night's shelter.
Where's the nearest town?
Down Blatton, 5 miles on.
5 miles?
Have you a cab or a cart? Or an ox?
No such thing.
Is there a telephone?
Yes. At Dunblatton.
My God. My godmother lives there with some godchildren.
Can we get some food?
I dare say there's a drop of soup left over.
Left over from when?
Soup. All right. Better than nothing. And could I have a cup of tea?
And 2 cups of beer.
Alfred.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Spoker.
Come here.
Mrs. Spoker.
2 beers.
Yes, Mrs. Spoker.
And Alfred. Is that Nooney I see in the bar?
Oh, well, you see, call in, you see, for...
Send him to me.
Aye, Mrs. Spoker.
Who is Nooney? Perhaps he could help us.
He? He's Satan's helper.
Go on, sir, go on.
Good evening to you, Mrs. Spoker.
Out you go.
But I...
Last week you recommended this hotel to a couple living in
Satan's.
I'll teach you. Out you go.
I thought you knew,
and I know now. Out you go.
They told I they was a travelling together.
Well, if that ain't enough for you, it is for me. Out you go.
If always like you, young folks never get to know whether they suit it.
Out you go, and out you stay. There, you see. If undesirables come to my hotel, that's what they get.
What did happen on that disastrous occasion?
It's not a nice subject, but a couple comes here just as you've come here tonight, and it was only later that I discovered that they wasn't married.
But perhaps poor Mr. Nooney thought they were just travelling together.
Couples don't travel together, nor without shame. If I'd known it, they wouldn't have stayed a moment in here. I wouldn't have risked that, not in this hotel. I'll just go and see Gladys about that soup.
Thank you.
I need hardly ask whether you're married.
What? Of course we're married.
Yes, both of us.
Thank you. You'll excuse my asking, but once bit.
I wonder who bit her.
What a dreadful old thing. Anyhow, Peter, do humour her until we have some food, if it's only soup.
We wouldn't even get that if she knew we weren't husband and wife.
Just imagine if all the hotels were so particular.
Yes, Brighton Beach would be one large dormitory.
I'm beginning to wonder where we shall sleep tonight. I can't walk any further.
I'm going to get my beer.
Well, madam, I've found much to my surprise that one of my rooms is unoccupied.
What, for the night?
Yes. My maid Gladys tells me that while I was out, Mr. and Mrs. Love, who were staying here, got called back home.
Mr. and Mrs. Love?
They were staying here while their house was done up. But Mrs. Love's mother, she remained in the house, and this evening she fell over a bucket. She was walking round a ladder and failed to observe the bucket.
I see.
So Mr. and Mrs. Love were called home hurried, and my number two room is unoccupied.
I see. Just one room?
It's a double room, so I can manage you and your husband. The maid got the room ready, thinking that I should sleep there myself.
Oh.
You see, I've an old lady bedridden in number one, and the maid thought I might wish to sleep next door.
I see. Well, I think I'd really better decide to sleep here.
Oh, I've given orders. Gladys is getting you soup and tea now.
Thank you very much.
And as for your little dog, I'll take it to the stables.
Oh, can't you stay with me for the night?
What? Upstairs?
Yes, of course.
Certainly not. That is a thing I cannot allow. I have no beasts in my bedroom.
I congratulate you.
Peter, Madam says she's got a room for us.
What?
Isn't it great?
Number two room. It's a double bed.
It is. But...
Well, what now, sir?
It's all right. It's quite all right. At home, we occupy separate bedrooms. But it's quite all right, really.
Oh. Well, it's not for me to arrange people's tastes in such matters. And if you are in the habit of sleeping with a dog, madam, I don't altogether blame your husband.
I say, what is all this?
Didn't you hear her say she had a room completely unoccupied? Do you think I was going to lose the chance?
Well, that's all right for you, but what about me?
Well, you can easily find somewhere to sleep. You can sleep in this room, or in the stables with Pansy.
Why not the hen house?
Oh, the hen house? Oh, don't be silly. It only means our keeping up our little deception for a night instead of a meal.
We shan't keep it up very successfully if Mrs. Spanker, or whatever her name is, finds the wife in the bedroom and the husband sharing the stables with the dogs.
She won't. You can come up to my room first, and after she's gone to bed, you can creep down here, and in the morning you can go out early for the car. It's very simple.
Oh, yes. Without food, no bath.
Oh, don't raise piffling difficulties. There's sure to be a pump outside.
A pump? Have you ever had a bath in a pump?
Your soups, your teas, and your bread.
Are you Gladys?
No. She's occupied.
Mmm. That's good.
Mmm. Oxtail. Mmm.
Cut the bread and pass the salt.
Right.
I don't mind about deceiving this landlady. People are so narrow-minded. Thanks.
No, but I wonder what poor Barbara will think.
You must explain, that's all. She'll understand. So, please.
Got all you want?
For the moment.
Right. See you later.
It does sound silly, I know. But with this completely occupied landlady.
Oh, we daren't tell her anything. She'd turn us out like a shot.
I hope your wife will be quite reasonable.
My wife's a darling.
I'm so looking forward to meeting her.
But she has a mother.
Oh.
Oh, a beauty. She's the head of the Crossword Mother-in-Law Society. No, my father's all right, though. He's a great sport. A sort of wet accumulator.
Well, your mother-in-law mustn't know, that's all. Do you want all your soup?
I think so. Why?
I want some for Pansy.
What about yours?
I need that. I walked
3 miles.
I walked 3 miles and 2 bags.
Never mind, darling. You shall have some milk.
What worries me about Barbara is that...
She'll be all right.
I think I'll take the dog now, madam.
Oh, can't she stay with me until I go to bed?
Well, I take it you won't be long now. We keep early hours here.
I shall turn in quite soon.
Very well. And there'll be the register to sign.
The what?
Yes, of course.
I'll get the book. What name, please?
Name.
Ah, the name.
Hickett.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Alfred? See who that is.
Very good soup, Mrs. Boker.
Thank you, ma'am.
The Reverend Slowly Jones.
Oh, what a nuisance that man is.
Goodness.
Thank Jove, I've had a terrible time tonight. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Spoker.
And what do you want, sir? I'm completely occupied, and you're dripping all over my carpet.
Oh, I'm so... Well, as a matter of absolute fact, I looked in to see whether I could get you to give me a little oil. I want oiling.
Well, you can't come here this time of night and get oiled.
Why, good gracious alive, Charlotte, this is Hickett.
Why, Mr. Slowly Jones?
Oh, it is Hickett, the name, isn't it? First time we've met, you know, since you got married. Awfully sorry I couldn't be at your wedding, but fancy meeting you here, though.
Yes, we're on our way to the Bunters. Are you staying at the Bunters?
No. Oh, no, no, no. I always spend my leave in these parts, you know. I'm just on a holiday.
Our car broke down and we came here.
Oh, bad luck. And this, of course... Is your husband? First time we've met, isn't it?
I hope so. Think so. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks. Well, except that I'm having a good deal of trouble with my motorbike. That's why I stopped here. I'm very overheated.
Oh.
However, ill wind, you know. I'm awfully bucked to come across you like this. Of course, I've heard a great deal about you.
About me? Oh, surely not.
Oh, I followed your career at the house.
Well, you mustn't follow me about like that.
Well, I suppose I'd better be putting off. That is, if you're sure I can't get what I want here.
Quite sure. It's after hours.
Where are you staying, Mr. Jones?
Dan Blotton's my headquarters. Of course, I'd go on to the Bunters at Rushcombe and let Lady Bunter know about you if I was quite sure that...
No, thank you. That's very kind of you. But thank you. No,
thank you.
Perhaps it is just as well, because I don't suppose I shall get even as far as Dan Blotton, let alone Rushcombe. Oh, dear. I do wish I'd got thoroughly oiled before I started. Well, good night, Mrs. Hickett. And good... Oh, I say. Hello, Mary Christopher. What a nice little dog. Your little dog, Mrs. Hickett.
Yes.
Dear little dog. Nice little dog. Pretty little dog. Good night, little dog. Yes, well, I suppose I shan't be quite so hot by this time. Well, good night.
And so... You remember the House of Parliament?
Yes, my husband's in the house.
And which side may you be on?
Well, you know, as you come in, I'm just on the right.
Yes. But are you for or against the brewers?
Oh, I'm for the brewers.
Ah, well, I'll get the register. Perhaps when you sign your name, you'll kindly put MP after it. It may be an object of interest in these parts.
This is terrible. Who is the parson? He knows you.
Oh, his name is Slowly Jones.
I don't care whether it's Quickly Smith.
He's harmless. I'll make it all right with him when I see him again. He won't remember you.
Won't he? I know those little fussy men. They never forget things they should forget. And what about this register? I can't sign your husband's name.
Of course you can.
But it's forgery, and that's a thing I very seldom do.
If you'll kindly make the entry now, sir.
Are you going to take the dog?
Certainly.
I'm going up to my room now... If you please take her at once.
Yes, give it to me.
Oh, I hope she won't howl.
It won't make any difference if she do howl. She won't be heard from the stables.
Look here, Margaret, this won't do. I mean about this book.
That's exactly why I got rid of Mrs. Spoker. I'll sign it.
I think you'd better.
Mr. and Mrs. Hickett. You see... I'm Mrs. Hickett, aren't I? You can't be running for half a forgery, can you?
Go on, then. Mr. Hickett, MP, remember?
And Mrs. Hickett.
Have you signed?
Hmm?
Oh, you don't write very clear.
I've just had some very thick soup.
Would you care for a fire in your room? Mrs. Love used to have one, and it is laid.
Yes, I think it would be very welcome.
Very well, then. Alfred?
Mrs. Spoker?
Come here, here.
Spoker?
Take you those two bags up to number two. Then show Mr. and Mrs. Ickett the way. Put a light to the fire.
Spoker?
I think I'll go up to my room now.
Oh. Be careful of the handle on the inside of your room. It's broken. It comes off sometimes. We've had some locked in.
That sounds appropriate.
You have to get help then outside. Outside help.
We'll be careful.
Good night then, ma'am.
Come along, Peter.
All right. The bedroom is on the next floor, isn't it? The one above this?
It is.
And the bedridden old lady, is she also on the same floor?
Next door to you, so please observe as much quiet as possible.
Oh, I shan't take any notice of her at all. Where do you sleep, Mrs. Spicer?
And why do you want to know?
Did I say that? I don't want to know. I thought that the old lady next door might...
On the same floor, but up a different flight of stairs. Don't you try and find your way about, because it's not easy. I shall hear you if you call. And down here, I lock all the doors.
I see. Oh, well. Good night.
Alfred!
Yes, Mrs. Spoker?
Have you done all those things that you ought to have done?
Aye, Mrs. Spoker.
And have you left undone those things that you ought not to have done?
Aye, Mrs. Spoker.
Then you can go to bed.
I blame you for this.
Blame you for what, dear?
You should have been firm.
I was. I said, marry him.
Is that what you call being firm?
Yes, dear.
Of course you don't.
Yes, dear.
Come in. Oh, it's you. What's the matter with you?
I say you're in bed.
Of course I'm in bed.
Undressed?
People usually undress to get into bed.
Awfully becoming negligee.
Really? Thank you. What? What are you doing in my bedroom?
I cannot sleep in the parlour.
Oh, nonsense, Peter. You can't have tried. You've only been there 10 minutes.
I tell you, I can't sleep in the parlour.
Why not?
Because I can't get in. It's locked.
Well, come in. Where have you been all the time, then?
I haven't been anywhere all the time. But I've been everywhere one can, and where one can, one can't sleep.
What about the back door downstairs?
I've been through there.
Where does that lead to?
To the back, hence the expression, back door.
Can't you sleep there?
How do you mean, sleep there? In the aperture of the back door? Behind the back door? Swinging on the back door to rock myself to sleep?
Isn't there anything through the back door?
A sink. Oh, and a pump. You were quite right about the pump, but if I remember rightly, that was for the morning.
I suppose you can't sleep on the stairs.
You're right, I can't.
Well, it must be somewhere.
I've been through every door there is that isn't locked, even the bedridden old lady's.
Good heavens, what happened?
Nothing. She just cocked an eye at me and murmured, Eno's.
My dear Peter, I'm frightfully sorry, but I really don't see what can be done.
The architecture of this place is all wrong. The parlour's locked, the kitchen's locked. There's no way to the bar, otherwise I'd go into a bit of moaning in the bar. I appear to be condemned to wander about the house all night like a lost soul with a candle and a blanket. Why, I'd give anything for a bed like yours.
Then you can't be hard to please. It goes up and down in the middle like the hump of a camel, only it does it twice. That's a dromedary, isn't it?
I should think that must be rather restful if you work yourself into the right position. It's raining, by the way.
Is it?
Terrible, that. It's pouring all over the place.
Oh, I hope the stables are watertight.
Look here, I'm not going to the stables, that's definite.
No, I was thinking of Pansy.
She's perfectly all right. I think she's getting some ratting.
Silence in there, please! Don't tell me everyone was in bed and asleep.
All right, I know that.
Let me have no more of it. Oh, bloody, he's not well. And in any case, I cannot have a disturbance in my hotel. So kindly get into bed without further notice.
All right.
He'll be in bed in a minute.
So I shall up. Are you in the bed?
Yes, I'm in, Mrs. Spoker.
I didn't hear.
Didn't hear what?
I didn't hear the springs.
She didn't hear the springs.
What did you say?
Get on the bed.
On the bed?
What's going on?
I'm getting into bed.
That's better. Now you'll be quiet.
Oh, this is so comfortable.
Get out of the bed.
I'm nearly asleep.
Peter, you can't sleep there. Get off at once.
Oh, right. It was bad enough before. Upstairs and downstairs, in my old lady's bedridden chamber, and now every landing I go on to, I shall meet this horrible old thing in night attire. Awful!
Look here, Peter. There is only one thing to be done.
What's that?
You can take this pillow and get down on the floor with your blanket and go to sleep.
What?
Go on, that'll settle it.
Yes, it very likely will.
What do you mean?
Well, do you think it's wise?
You keep grousing because you've got nowhere to sleep. Go on, sleep on the floor.
Suppose anyone found out?
The only people who will find out because we shall tell them. To any decent-minded person, there's nothing wrong in you sleeping on the floor of my room. Is there?
Yes, but where's the decent-minded person?
My husband hasn't got a nasty mind. Has your wife got a nasty mind?
No, but she's got a nasty mother.
Oh, all right, I was only trying to help. Go to the stables if you like.
All right, you're right.
Well, of course I'm right.
I'll risk it.
Risk what?
Sleeping on the floor of your room. There is an absolute arctic blast blowing in under this door.
You can get well in the corner under the washstand. You'll be all right there.
On the contrary, the wind is blowing straight into the washstand.
Hurry up and don't footle about.
Well, dash it all. If I've got to sleep on the floor, you might let me pick my own pitch. I can't lie on a floor all night in the teeth of a gale. I shall die.
You can lie with your feet under the bed if you like.
That's very extraordinary.
What is?
There's a three-cornered blast.
Go on, hurry up and get settled.
It doesn't matter much where I go, I shall die.
Well, if you've never had anything worse happen to you than spending the night on the floor of an inn.
Yes, but what an inn! And what a floor! Oh, how uncomfortable this is. Oh, how I love my wife. Oh, I do love her. Little darling.
Please, God, don't let her mother find out about tonight.
If I pull it down, I get a draught. If I pull it up, it tickles my neck. Oh, utterly blast and curse this night!
Oh, Peter, do be quiet. I'm going to try and get some sleep now. Oh, Peter, I'm sorry, I forgot. Would you mind opening the window?
Open the window? Do you want me to die?
You must have air.
I bring the plug back to my feet.
Open the window, can't you?
No.
There's a catch somewhere.
Yes, I think there is.
That's right. That's right. Pull it down from the top.
I can't pull it down from the top.
Then push it up from the bottom. That's too wide now. Won't it stay halfway open?
I can't move it at all now.
Oh, well, never mind, never mind. Leave it, leave it, leave it.
Isn't it time to get up yet? Bet. I'm sick of that spot. I'm going to find a fresh position by the fire.
Why didn't you think of that place before? It's much warmer there.
I can't argue at this time of night.
Peter, I believe the chimney is going to smoke.
What's the use of pass yourself?
It's caused by that window. You'll have to lie somewhere else.
I'm not going to lie under the window, I can tell you that.
Can't you hear her?
No.
Oh, Peter, you know it's Pansy. Oh, please go down and fetch her, will you?
No. Thank you.
I know if you were Claude, you'd go down and get her in.
If I were Claude, I shouldn't have cramp in my spine.
Oh, poor little girl.
She can't be worse off than I am.
Yes, but somehow it's much more pathetic in a dog.
And here am I, a human being.
Peter, have you no regard for dumb animals?
Yes, when they are dumb.
Well, you can easily get to the stables.
Quiet!
Now, bring her in your arms and don't let her bark.
I find her, she'll never bark again. Oh, blast this again. Was that Mr. Rickett?
It sounded to me more like a can.
It was a can, placed outside the door of number one. What is the meaning of this?
My husband has gone to get the dog. She was howling.
What's he going to do with the dog?
Bring her in here, of course.
Oh, bungary Lord, I've said so once.
She's not going to stay out there and howl all night.
I can't hear any noise.
Anthony, come on, come on.
What is he up to now? I've never heard such a thing.
Look,
I'll soon settle this.
What's going on out here?
I'm looking for the dog.
Are you finished?
Yes, I'm finished.
Where's the dog?
Run away, and pray heaven it'll stay away.
You keep your prayers for yourself.
That's just what I'm doing.
What are you doing with that pig bucket?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize the pigs were so particular about their buckets.
Take that off. I hope you're not going to do any more wandering. I don't like guests wandering. Go back to your wife without further notice. Get into bed and stay there.
All right.
And take that pig bucket off.
Didn't you go after Pansy when she ran away?
Of course I did. You've no idea what it's like out there on a night like this, with rain like that and a bucket like that.
But imagine what a wretched night she'll spend.
That's the one thing I can imagine.
But, Peter, you're wet.
Of course I'm wet. You can't go dog hunting in the rain without getting wet.
You must take off these wet clothes at once.
I'm not going to take off any clothes in here.
You can't catch pneumonia.
I can.
Oh, go on, you can't sleep in wet clothes. I'll blow the candle out if you're so modest. There. Now, take them off and put these towels around you. I'm not looking.
We're utterly compromised.
Compromised? Nonsense. I tell you, what can she matter?
It isn't only she. We've tied ourselves in knots all the evening. We're husband and wife in the register book.
I know, Peter. But we're all right in the book from which there is no rubbing out.
We're in the same room. And we've been identified by that parson, that Jenkins, or whatever his damn silly name is.
Good heavens, what's happened?
Light the light, light the light.
What have you done?
I overbalanced and caught hold of the jug.
Made a ghastly row.
I think it only sounded loud.
Is the jug broken?
Yes, but the handle's all right.
Peter, she's coming.
Hmm?
What is it, Gladys?
I think it's cats, Mrs. Falker.
Cats, rubbish.
And what are you up to now, may I ask? What are you doing with them towels?
My husband was undressing and knocked over a jug.
I'll pay for the jug.
Gladys, go and see who it is at the front door.
Yes,
send them away. Parker. This is no time for decent folk to be knocking. Unless you're in bed and asleep in
five minutes.
Yes.
He shall be, he shall be. He's always like this.
Does he break a jug every time he undresses?
I'll pay for it or he will.
No. You've gone and shook up number one. Them towels are not for wearing.
Bring your trousers here, dear, and press them under the mattress.
Has he got his nightshirt?
Yes.
I knew how to manage my late husband.
No wonder he's late.
Oh, and what is that?
Stop that row. How do you expect a respectable gentleman to sleep?
Who is it, Peter?
I don't know. Somebody trying to get a drink.
Look. There.
Oh.
Nothing on but towels.
Mrs. Bone. Major Bone. This is most unexpected.
Not in the least. Your wife should see you now.
That lady is his wife.
His wife is my daughter, and that woman is not my daughter.
Ah, well, now you're here, let me introduce you. Margaret, Mrs. Bone, my mother-in-law. Major Bone, my father in ditto.
Ah, how did you do?
Hello.
Is this your first visit to Maiden Blotton?
Stop that!
Won't you all sit down? I'm afraid space is rather limited.
So you are the woman?
Yes, I am the woman, and this is the man. I admit his costume is rather effeminate at the moment.
I knew very well I should find you here.
Let me explain.
Explain? This explains itself. Here you are, draped like some Greek thing in a towel, in this room with this scarlet woman.
What colour? How dare you say a thing like that in a room like this?
Barbara will be here in the morning, and I'll see you don't get away till then.
But Barbara's at the Bunters.
Yes, that's what you think.
Think?
So you spent the night here with your alleged wife. She in bed and you in a towel.
My trousers are there.
Where?
Under the mattress if you want them.
Allow me.
No, you don't. This room shall stay as it is until Barbara arrives. That'll be evidence enough.
Evidence of what?
There isn't another room in the house. They're all completely occupied.
Oh, this is all very tiresome.
Right. Out you go, all of you.
I cannot go out in the night in the middle of the rain.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are, but this is my hotel, and out you go, all of you. You, with your lies and deceit and sin.
I quite agree.
And don't you interfere.
And as for you, out of my house you go, you shake.
Shake.
Why don't we all have a nice drink? Nothing like a drop of port for clearing the air.
Don't be ridiculous. We don't want the air cleared. Now, everyone out of this room at once. At once. Mm-hmm. You as well.
Very well. Now give me my key.
Certainly not.
This is my hotel.
That door remains locked until my daughter, his wife, arrives. She is going to see all.
Right.
A large port.
Oh, wake up.
What? Oh.
I'm not having you littering my parlour all morning. It was only Christian spirit stopped me making you go last night. I'm not letting my customers see this filth.
Filth? What filth?
I will not have this person in my hotel. Give him his trousers at once.
He will wait here for his wife.
He can wait in his trousers.
I would like to get my clothes from the bedroom.
My daughter, his wife, is going to see you dressed like that in that...
Negligee, it's called. Is that right, my dear? Negligee.
That's right.
Yes, awfully nice. Fits you terribly well.
Be quiet.
What?
Be quiet.
Oh. Did you say the bar's open?
Certainly not.
Oh, I fancy a beer.
I want that person out of her negligee.
I quite agree.
What did you say?
I said I quite agree. I fancy a beer.
I will not have my parlour looking like a swimming bath.
Excuse me. I'm just going for a constitutional.
I will not give up the key.
You will.
I will not.
This is my hotel.
Hotel?
And I keep my own keys.
I do not intend to give up the key. I depend upon it for my evidence.
I will not have it.
I demand to get my clothes.
Yes, and I'll see that you do.
I must have my evidence.
You've proof enough. I saw him myself, and here's the visitor's book.
Oh, give it to me. Let me see.
Now, girls, please.
Mr. and Mrs. Love, room number 2.
That ain't them.
That ain't us.
Remarks, most comfortable.
That certainly ain't us.
This is what applies to them. Mr. Ickett, MP, and Mrs. Ickett, room number 2.
Remarks? Give me a page and a pen.
I should put 1 bed and 1 board.
And 3 blasts.
Very well. This book will suffice. I'll take charge of it till my daughter comes. You may take your key.
Then I'm to go and dress?
You're to dress and go. And when she's finished, you can get your trousers.
What about breakfast?
You don't get no breakfast from me.
I'll come now. Bed and breakfast.
I shall require some breakfast.
Certainly. Tea or coffee, Mrs. Hickey?
Strong coffee.
And I'll have 2 boiled eggs.
Hard or soft?
Medium.
You won't get a bite out of me!
I don't want one. I'm a vegetarian.
I'm not going to let that woman out of my sight.
I say, are they all gone?
Yes, all gone.
Done something rather clever. Fancy a beer?
Oh, thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers. I say, look here, Bone, old boy. I'm in an awful fix. Barbara will be here any moment. Be a sport and help me.
Oh, very well. But it's no easy matter. This lady friend of yours looks nice and she's very attractive, and the two together are generally looked upon as a foregone conclusion.
Still, by the time Barbara comes, I shall be in my trousers. At least I hope so. I can't stand and make speeches in a towel. I'm not a Roman senator.
You need worry about your towel. If you were going to tell Barbara that you stayed here last night in that delightful creature's room, only to keep away the mice, it won't make the slightest difference whether you are wearing a towel or a suit of chain armour.
That's not the point. The point is, What am I going to tell her?
You tell her the truth.
Impossible. She wouldn't believe it. She oughtn't to doubt me. It isn't as if I were you.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean my record's pure.
Well, isn't mine? I like that, but I'm trying to help you. You start abusing me. That's not the way to get assistance.
No, I don't mean that. But what am I to tell her? You ought to know. Besides, you... Really, you're an expert.
Oh, do you really think so? That's very nice of you. I oughtn't to help you. It isn't playing the game, you know, but there you are. Well, I'm a man of the world, and you're a very decent boy, so I don't see why you shouldn't have the benefit of my experience. Now, I'll tell you. When Barbara arrives, when she comes in this door, I presume that's where she'll come in, you stand there looking bewildered and ill-used.
That's easy.
Now, the first thing she'll say will be, Peter, what is this I hear?
What is this I hear?
Yes. They all say that.
Do they? I didn't know that.
Yes. You can lay odds on that. And you turn round and say, it's nothing, darling. Surely you know me better than that.
Better than what?
Better than what?
Better than what?
What? Oh, better than what? Why? Better than what she has heard. Then I'll step into the breach.
Out of the bar.
Thank you very much. And say to her, oh, believe me, Barbara, you're utterly wrong. And you must tell her the tale.
What tale?
The tale of the old iron pot.
Old iron pot?
Well, that's another way of saying spinner the yarn.
Ah,
this is a good one. Tell her that Hitchcock stayed here with his wife.
Who?
Hitchcock.
Hickett.
Hickett. Is that the name? Good Lord. I've been calling him Mrs. Hitchcock. The husband stayed here with the wife, and you went on elsewhere.
By Jove, Bone, that's fine. Shall we try? You be Barbara.
Rather difficult, but I'll have a shot at it.
Bewildered and...
ill-used.
I'm ready. What's that?
That's in case she knocks.
Barbara, darling.
Peter, what is this I hear?
It's nothing, darling. Surely you know me better than that.
Good, good. Then she'll say, you've been false to me.
What?
That's good. Hold that. Now, I'll be me. Oh, believe me, Barbara, you are utterly wrong. Then you can go on with the tale.
And you go back to the bar.
Thanks very much. You see, the husband stayed here with the wife, and you pushed on and stayed elsewhere.
By Jove, Boney, that's fine.
Oh.
Then there's the visitor's book, Mr. and Mrs. Hickett, not in my handwriting. All cut and dried.
Of course. I'll go wrong.
Then I can rely on you.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Boney. Thank you.
Don't thank me, my boy. I hope one of these days you'll be able to do as much for me. Peter, they're wonderful things, wives.
Oh, wonderful. I'm delighted you've got yours. I'm going to get dressed.
Yep, he's a very good boy. Very promising future. Another beer, perhaps.
Oh, dear.
Good day to ye, parson.
Good day. Isn't that Mrs. Hickett's dog?
Found her this morning by my door. Got herself lost, I shouldn't wonder.
Splendid, well done. Now give it to me.
No, sir. Finding be delivering.
Well, then you'd better come in with it.
Be Mrs. Spoker in?
Yes, of course.
And then I reckon I'll bide in the road.
Ah, there you are, my man. Excuse me, what dog's that?
I found her down along.
Where did you get that dog? Let me see it.
She belong in there. She belong in there.
I want to see its collar.
She belong in there.
Yes, of course, I knew it. I'd recognize this dog anywhere. How the devil did it come here? Excuse me, sir. Mm. I can tell you all about the dog.
She belonged to a lady.
I know quite well who it belongs to.
Ah, he's quite right. Quite. It belongs to a man and his wife who are staying here for the night on their way to Lady Bunter's brush goose.
Lady Bunter's is where I'm going myself. This is Mrs. Hickett's dog.
That's right, sir. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Hickett had a breakdown in their car and had to stay here.
Mr. and Mrs. Hickett?
Yes, they're here now. They know all about it.
But Mrs. Hickett went by train to Rushcombe yesterday afternoon.
You'll excuse me, but Mrs. Hickett is still upstairs with her husband.
Upstairs? Here, my man. Here's half a crown for you. Now, give me that dog.
You can have her. Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, thank you.
Quiet, Pansy. Quiet. Shh. You are under some delusion, sir. Whatever has happened to Mrs. Hickett, I can tell you on very good authority that her husband spent last night in Bristol on his way from London.
Ah, indeed he didn't, if you'll pardon me. He spent last night getting in and out of bed after this dog, poor fellow. From all accounts, he and Mrs. Hickett had a very rough day.
But, my dear...
I saw them here myself last night.
Oh, then you know Mr. Hickett.
Oh, yes. I knew his wife before she introduced me to him. He's Hickett the MP, you know.
Hmm.
I was agreeably surprised. What a decent fellow.
Hmm.
I'd always been told that the man was a bit of an ass.
Indeed. I think I'll go in.
Oh, and the dog.
I'll see that Mrs. Hickett gets it.
Ah, naughty to run away from Cain's mistress. No! Oh, dear. Oh, it spat on my chin.
That's right.
Oh, well, good day. Just give myself a early morning test. The bake, you know.
Barman!
Oh, excuse me, sir.
I beg your pardon.
I'm just looking for a couple.
Yes, sir, but I can't find the barman.
George! What are you doing?
Looking for a glass of water.
Oh, are you the manageress?
Manageress?
Oh, I beg your pardon, but I thought that looked like the register.
So it is. Why?
Ah.
Give that back at once.
Aha. Ah, that's better. Feel new man with my clothes on. Looking for a drink, Major?
Just on my way for a glass. Ah, water.
Did you stay at this hotel last night?
Yes.
In and out. Is this your name?
Yes, why shouldn't it be?
Because it's mine.
Ah.
Ah, then you'd better have it. Quite by chance, I recognized my wife's dog outside. Will you explain?
I can do that.
No, no. I'll see Margaret.
Margaret?
My wife.
Your wife.
Our wife.
Who the devil are you?
I don't know now. I used to be a nice little fellow. I've gone off.
He spent the night in her room.
Is this true?
Well, yes, in a way.
What the devil do you mean, sir? How can you spend the night in a lady's room in a way?
You can believe me.
What excuse have you got?
The landlady wouldn't take us in unless we were married, so we were married.
Married?
Well, you know what I mean. We said we were.
Why wouldn't the landlady take you in unmarried?
Because she's a sort of Prussian Baptist. That's not good enough.
Oh.
Now, look here, sir. I've always had the best reasons to regard my wife as a sweet and innocent woman.
Then believe me, sir, you are utterly wrong.
Oh, pull yourself together. This is something entirely different.
Good Lord, have I dropped a brick?
No, you've pushed over the whole building. This is Hickett.
Is this the husband?
Yes, it is the husband.
Yes, it is the husband.
Ah.
Well, that's very awkward indeed.
What he really means is, if you think your wife is capable of doing anything wrong... My wife. I should be sorry for the person who dared say so.
You'd be sorry.
My wife is the most innocent woman in England.
But I tell you, I caught them red-handed.
Oh, that is a falsehood. Where is my wife now?
Getting up.
How do you know?
She said I'm going to get up.
Now look here, sir. I am going to learn the truth about this.
Lord, darling.
Margaret.
How on earth did you get here?
My angel, what has been happening to you?
It's all perfectly innocent.
Barbie!
Then proof!
Like a large...
George! Come here, girl.
Yes, sir?
Where is the landlady?
Gone to get some milk.
Where from?
From the cow.
Where is the cow?
Being milked.
But where's the cow being milked?
Well, he knows where to milk a cow, don't he?
Oh! I'll go and find her.
What does she mean, proof? I think your wife should explain.
Yes, I'll make it all clear to you.
Mrs. Hooker! Mrs. Hooker! Oh! Oh! Oh, dear! Oh, dear!
As regards my wife, I am prompted to believe what she tells me.
Well, you always have so far.
Yes. It's you.
Who, me?
Now, look here, sir. I want to trust my wife. I've always thought her above suspicion. That's been my greatest pride and joy.
Many happy returns of the day.
But you tell me you couldn't sleep anywhere else.
I tell you, I couldn't sleep anywhere at all.
Oh, rot. That's past belief. I won't put up with it.
Put up with it? I wish you'd had to put up with it. If that's the sort of night you spend with your wife, you ought to be grateful to me.
Grateful to you?
Yes, for spending one for you.
Now, look here.
Stop it. Stop it. Come, come. None of that. No fighting here. You listen to me for a moment. I am a man of the world, and I happen to be the father of this man's wife's daughter.
Is this your father-in-law?
I'm afraid it is.
Then you have a wife.
Yes, I've got a little wife.
She'll be here soon. Perhaps she'll believe what you say.
Yes, with your help.
Oh, so I'm to sit and endorse lies, am I?
Claude, listen.
Quiet, please.
But listen. His wife's mother still accuses me. He and I are still in the same bed.
What?
Boat.
Yes. And if her mother gets hold of my wife first, the boat will sink.
Yeah, yeah.
Quiet. But you haven't finished with me yet. I have to decide, too.
Let me do that for you, as usual.
Oh, leave me alone, Margaret. I want to think.
Yes, let him think.
But he thinks the worst.
No, I haven't said that.
Then what do you think?
He's trying to think what to think.
I know what I think of you.
I see.
I am going out to think this over. Then I will decide what to do.
I see.
I'd also like to know what evidence your wife's mother has gone to get.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
I see. I see.
Mrs. Spooker! Mrs. Spooker! Oh, oh dear! Oh, oh, oh.
I want to go out and talk to Claude.
Let him get some fresh air. We've got Barbara fixed, haven't we, Bone?
Well, we had before he turned up.
When Barbara comes, she's sure to say, "What is this I hear?" And I'll say, "It's nothing, darling. Surely you know me better than that." Then Bone will breeze in from the bar.
Thanks very much.
And say, "Believe me, Barbara, you're utterly wrong."
And so you think that's going to fix Barbara?
No, 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 no. Then I shall explain.
What are you going to say?
Oh, never mind that now, so long as you back me up when the time comes.
I think the time's come. Don't you hear?
What?
It sounds like Barbara in the car. Yes, it is.
Go on, Bone, old boy. Back in the bar.
And don't forget, she'll say, "Peter, what is this I hear?" Mm-hmm. And you say...
"It's nothing, darling. Surely you know me better than that."
Good. Right. Believe me, Barbara, you're utterly wrong. Yes.
One moment. My expression. Bewildered and ill-used.
No, 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 no. Nonchalant.
Oh, nonchalant. What is this I hear? "It's nothing, darling. Surely you know me better than that."
Peter!
Barbara! Darling.
Peter, what is this?
Well? Go on. What is this you... What?
Well, what is this I... find?
You don't hear anything? It's nothing, darling. Surely you don't know me as well as all that.
Peter, what's happened?
Nothing, darling. Do I look as if anything's happened?
Think of what's happened to me.
Yes, I know. All my carelessness and Mrs. Hickett's... Oh, Mrs. Hickett, my wife.
Oh, indeed. Don't be alarmed. We're only too pleased you've come.
Yes, lucky I was back in time to meet you.
Back? Haven't you stayed here, then?
Oh, no, thanks. No fear. No, I'll tell you. Mrs. Hickett and I met on the platform. She was going to the Bunters, too.
We talked, you see, and missed the train.
So we took a car after you. Our car exploded, and we came here.
Yes, I heard that.
Ah, you heard that. Well, now hear this. And we hadn't been here long when in came Mr. Hickett, didn't he?
Certainly.
He certainly did. He was going to the Bunters, too.
Yes, he heard about us.
And came in his two-seater, so he stayed here with Mrs. Hickett, and I pushed on where else? Elsewhere.
To the Bunters?
No, to the next town.
Why didn't you stay here? There are only two rooms here.
Yes, the Hicketts had number two. Very nice room, I believe.
I see. But why didn't you stay in number one? There's an old lady in the bed there.
Oh. Yes, and she wanted to be alone, so I went on. Rang up the Bunters, heard you weren't there, and came back here this morning.
Oh, Peter, then I need never have had any doubt or anxiety.
Oh, believe me, Barbara, you're utterly wrong.
Well meant, but a bad spot.
What? Have I done it again?
Father, are you here?
Yes, I think so. Yes, I'm here.
Is Mother here?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Peter, where is Mother?
Mother? You know Mother, don't you? Mother's gone to see a little cow.
A little cow? Why? Oh, yes, the most famous little cow, the champion cow of Somerset.
A long-distance cow.
Yes, tell me, how did you get to the next town last night?
What?
He borrowed my husband's two-seater.
Good, good.
Yes, yes, splendid little car. It's out there now, tyres all round it.
Oh, I wish I'd known all this before. What was the name of this town?
Which town?
The town you stayed at.
What?
Which town, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, I was just telling my wife, Mrs. Hickett, which town, darling. They used to burn witches there, you know.
Did you stay at an hotel?
Yes, I stayed at the local hotel.
What was it called?
No. You mean what name was it? What hotel? An old English name. It was the Cow and Litter.
The Cow and Litter? Oh, yes. Nonsense. Cows don't have litters.
Of course they don't. It's only a name. But if it comes to that, pigs don't have whistles.
Anyhow, Barbara, you see, everything's all right.
Of course. I never wanted to doubt you, Peter, darling. Only it was all so queer. And when I saw you from the train with Mrs. Hickey...
Now you've seen me again, I hope you realise there was nothing the matter.
Yes, of course. Now that I know you stayed here with Mr. Hickett.
Yes. Hickett was here all right.
What's the matter? Mr. Hickett did stay here, didn't he?
Yes, yes.
Well, there is the book. You can see.
No, I don't want to see the book. Peter, it's quite clear. Mr. Hickett stayed here with his wife, and I quite believe it.
Then believe me, you're utterly wrong.
Well, men serve at a bad spot. Do you mind not butting in? Who is that?
The husband, Hitchcock. Hickett.
Claude, you're being stupid and interfering.
Who are you, please?
I'm Mr. Hickett. Are you this man's wife?
Yes, of course I am.
I don't ask you to mistrust him. I don't mistrust my wife. But I think you'd better hear the truth.
Oh! Then you haven't been telling me the truth?
The truth? What's that? I thought you'd like to hear something else.
Peter, you've been lying to me.
Well, let me try again. I want to tell you the tale of the old copper pot.
The best thing I can do is to see Mother.
Mrs. Hickett will tell you herself.
Of course I will.
I'd rather see Mother.
You'd rather see Mother than Mrs. Hickett? You must be feverish.
George! Barbara! There you are! Oh, I should be here to meet you, but... George! I've been chased by a bull!
Really?
Oh, Barbara! I suppose he's been trying to deceive you.
Mother, did Peter stay here last night?
Yes, he did. I came down with your father and found him in the same room as this woman.
I wish that bull had caught her.
It's no use disguising. He's been false to you.
Now, do you think that could be true of me?
No, that I will not believe.
George, we're going. Barbara, come after us in your car to Bristol.
Barbara, what are you going to do?
I'm going back to Bristol after Mother.
Yes, immediately. George, are you coming?
Is it optional?
No. Where's your hat?
Here it is.
Yes, I've got something to say to you when we get in the car.
Oh, dear.
Barbara, darling, listen to me.
No.
There's Gladys. Ask her.
Did you see this lady and gentleman upstairs last night?
Oh, yes, sir. I went into the room with Mrs. Spoker. She was in a rare temper with them.
Why was she?
Well, they were in bed. What? But Mrs. Spoker, she couldn't get the gentleman to undress and get him to the bed, too. There you are.
Absolutely.
Just as I told you. He kept pottering about and he wouldn't settle.
That's right, Gladys. What are you doing on Thursday?
What is that? It's the bones rattling. I knew I could trust you.
Wait a moment. I want to hear what Mrs. Wickham has got to say.
All I've got to say is that you missed the train on purpose. You brought her here, you stayed in her room, and you told lies. No, I'm going after Mother.
Well, I'm quite satisfied.
Then you're easily satisfied. It's a preposterous story.
Barbara, listen, please.
Oh, let her go. What does it matter? The whole world will soon know now.
Margaret?
Oh, Claude, I may have to hurt you, but I can't help it. But when you love a man as I love Peter, what does anything matter? I love Peter. And now that we missed that train and have taken the plunge...
Yes.
We will go out into the great world together, yes, yes, and not worry what it thinks. Yes, 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 yes. Take me to Paris, yes. Monte Carlo, yes. Nice, yes, up the Nile and down the Zambezi.
Yes, we'll go to Hurst Park, Sandown and Goodwood.
Together, mine, mine.
Yes, darling, let us go.
Leave my husband alone.
No.
I can't keep it up, Barbara, darling.
Don't worry, Claude. You haven't lost me yet.
I never doubted you.
Claude, sweetheart.
Darling, you're not going with your mother, are you? I was only teasing.
You were holding her very tightly.
But you know you're the only girl for me.
Darling.
Darling.
I am completely occupied.
I'm upset. For the woman.
Yes, indeed.
What?
Yes, indeed.
Exactly.
There's no reason we should get ourselves into a state. Won't do Barbara any good, you know. Just make ourselves thirsty. Well, why don't we stop at the next inn and water the old horse?
No.
You're not thirsty.
I am not an old horse.
Joan Hickson played Mrs. Bone and Freddie Jones, the Major.
Barbara? Cuddle down to me and I will love you. Nothing can change what we hold dearest, can it? I don't think other wives and husbands can rely on each other as we do.
Peter? Nothing really did happen, did it?
Peter and wife, Ian Lavender and Yvonne Antrobus.
Are you asleep?
I was.
Love is rare.
Yes, my dear.
Nothing can shake perfect trust, because trust perfected is truth. Love is truth. Isn't it?
Margaret and husband, Phoebe Nichols and Brett Usher.
Well, Reverend Slowly Jones, you can lodge here for the night. I've had to scour this room since the happenings, but I don't want you coming this late again. All decent folk are in their beds.
I was terribly overheated. There's something badly wrong with May oil.
I don't want you wondering about. There's been too much of that lately.
I'm going straight to bed.
I'm glad. Good night.
Oh, let me open the door.
Be careful with that handle.
Oh, dear.
What have you done?
We must call for help.
Help? At this time of night? Oh, well. Help!
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 Of course. You must take the bed.
The Reverend Slowly Jones and the fallen Mrs. Spoker, Ellis Dale and Margaret Isaac, Alfred, Henry Stamper, Nooney, Timothy Bateson, Gladys, Alex Marshall, Young Rake at the Music Hall, James Kelly, Newsagent, Maggie McCarthy, and the Garage, James Bryce. Pansy the Dog, Percy Edwards. Music composed and played by Ed Welsh, accompanied by Ron Asprey.
At 90-odd years of age, most people, not many reach 90-odd years of age, but reflect. You haven't got time to reflect on the past, have you? Because you're doing so much now.
Well, you're old, as I am. You must keep working. Peter, it's really the one thing that keeps you going is to have something to do, something to work at. And, of course, I've had this extraordinary experience over the last 3 years of always having something on the tuppy, something coming along, something to take an interest in. And also, you'll try, in odd times, to be creating something. I don't mind if it all happens after I die, as long as this keeps me busy while I'm alive.
I do envy what you said you wanted put on your tombstone. I believe this is right. This is where it all begins.
This is where the real fun starts.
Well, that's much funnier. Yes. Do you believe that?
Indeed, yes.
Yes. You can't have much more fun than the life you've had, though.
Oh, no, I've had a very, very happy and jolly life, indeed.
Ben Travers died on the 18th of December, 1980. He was 94. The extracts from the interview were recorded in 1978. In the 20s and 30s, Ben Travers wrote 9 farces for the famous Aldwych Theatre Company. A Cuckoo in the Nest was the first.
A Cuckoo in the Nest by Ben Travers was adapted and directed by Peter King.